Okay, let's go to Matthew. I'm going to read Matthew 25:34. I'm going to read Luke 12:32. Then I've got a whole bunch of other scriptures I want to read before we get done here. Just want to preach one more message on the kingdom of God. I think this will be it. Been kind of holding back on this for a little bit and thinking about it, but need to do this before we quit the kingdom of God stuff. So, Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. I love this verse. This is a verse, somebody said it years ago, quoted it, and it really stuck with me. This, I don't know, it really spoke to my heart, left something there. Then, this is Jesus talking, then shall the king, that's capital K, by the way, say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wonderful. They were surprised. They said, when, you know, he said, for as I was hungry and you fed me, and I was thirsty and you gave me to drink, and I was in prison and you visited me and all that. And they said, Lord, when did we do that? They were surprised. To be taught, spoken to so graciously by the Lord. Luke 12, verse 32. Jesus again says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You're going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you're counted among the righteous now, get that. Are you tonight? You know, would you call yourself one of the righteous? Can you do that? Do you have that confidence? You know, you talk to people about, are you going to go to heaven when you die? And boy, they're confident about that. Yes, sir. I'm going to heaven when I die because I've been baptized. Because I made my profession. I prayed that sinner's prayer. I mean, I've been in church all my life. I've heard all these answers. I see everybody believing that. But people are sure about it. Are you righteous? The Bible never talks about, you know, that's the qualification. That's the description. That's the ones the kingdom of God is prepared for, is who? The righteous. Y'all understand that there's only two, the righteous and the wicked. There's no in between. There's no purgatory between heaven and hell either. It's heaven or hell. It's wonderful or it's awful. And that's the way it is with righteousness and wickedness. Now, where do you fit in? Where do you fit in? Are you righteous? Are you like most Baptists, ashamed to say, yes, I'm one of the righteous? Better not be. Better figure that thing out. Better figure it out. All right. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Please help us to rightly divide it here. Pray you give us an understanding of this final thought that I want to give about this matter tonight. Help us. And help me, Lord, to have a clear enough mind to be able to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we try to wrap our mind around the kingdom of God, we got to look at the past and the present and the future. And I hope that through all this, you know, I hope that it's helped you to understand or get a better view of things than what you've had before. A bigger view, a longer view, the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom. Jesus preached the kingdom. Paul preached the kingdom. Peter preached the kingdom. Everywhere you see it in there, we went through that about it. They made much of the kingdom of God, didn't they? You all got that much of it. Well, we need to get a full view of it. And we've looked at the past, and we've looked at the present, and, you know, I told you that the best way to tell that we're in the end of time and the last days here before he comes is look at the state of the church. That, you know, that's the biggest sign that he's fixing to come back. He told us how it was going to play out, how it started, how it was going to play out through the centuries, and then how it's going to end. And so that's what we want to look at here tonight. We know in the beginning, we know that since John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is preached. In Luke 16, verse 16, the law and the prophets, Jesus said, were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So there was a new dispensation introduced at that time. Very clearly, Jesus said, until John the Baptist, the law and the prophets. But since John the Baptist, the law, the kingdom of God is preached. We're to be preaching the kingdom of God, not anything else, not all this other stuff men have come up with, not all these other things and ideas and theology. The kingdom of God is what we're to be preaching. That's what they preach. It's what Jesus preached, and it's what we're to preach. Up until then, it was the law and the prophets. That's what the Pharisees preached. That's what everybody studied and thought about, the law and the prophets. Well, now, they're not done away with. That's not the point here. It's not that we've got the New Testament so we can throw away the Old Testament. No, it's a building thing. It's like we talked about the other day, the revelation of God has been a progressive thing ever since the Garden of Eden. All through the centuries and the millennia, the thousands of years here, God has slowly turned up the volume on the revelation of himself to mankind. Jesus came, and I mean, he was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And so the kingdom of God's preached since then. After that time, the kingdom of God was and is preached. We can study the parables and compare them to the history that has transpired since Jesus gave them 2,000 years ago. And we can see, we can look through the past 2,000 years and we can see the progression of the kingdom of God just exactly as Jesus said it would happen. Now, if we'd have been living 2,000 years ago listening to Jesus when he explained and he gave the parables and then he asked the disciples, "You understand this?" We'd have said, "Yeah, well, we think we do, yeah." But we wouldn't have. We're on the other end of it now. We can look through history. We can see what has happened, what has played out. And then we can read what Jesus said and we can just marvel that he was right on the money, that it was so clear, that he told us so clearly. We don't have to look into the future to see how it's going to develop here on earth. We do have to look into the future and trust in his promises to see from here on out what's going to be. But it's a great help to us. We can see what he meant by the mustard seed. We can see what he meant by the net and the tares and the wedding supper and the all the rest of it that he talked about. All those parables. We can see clearly. It was very enlightening, and it was very much of a blessing to me to study through all that and then think about it. And knowing church history and what's been through all these years, man, I thought, wow, amazing. We can look around us right now and we can see the state of the world and we can see the state of the churches and we can see that the kingdom of God is in the state Jesus said it would be in before he comes. We're here. So we know, I mean, all that should confirm our faith and increase our faith in what Jesus told us about his kingdom. And what we got to do from where we're at right now is look to the future with faith and with hope and with anticipation. Because Jesus told us what the future of the kingdom of God is going to be like from here on out also. He told us all so far, and it's been just like he said. Let's study this, some of those things like we just read there, what he said still yet coming. And it's wonderful. It's the best part. The best is yet to come. Oh, yes, it is. The kingdom of God. The future of the kingdom of God is going to look far different than the past or the present. Far different. It's going to look as different as Jesus himself does from when he was here and when he was the Lamb of God that was slain. He's not going to look like that when he comes back. He is not like that right now. He's risen. He's ascended to heaven, seated on the right hand of the Father. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth. Oh, he's not the Lamb of God anymore, the meek and lowly. He's not the man. He's the risen Christ. And he's completely different. And the world's going to be astounded when they see him. Every eye shall see him. And they're going to run for the rocks and beg for the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the Lamb. Because he ain't looking like they thought he did. Well, so much difference. That's how the kingdom of God's going to be too. His kingdom is going to look far different in the future than it does right now. Looks pretty pitiful right now, don't it? Looks pretty bad from the worldly viewpoint, from where we stand on this dirt ball that we live on. It don't look like too much. But you better hang on, because it ain't going to look like that in the future. You know, what's now, the order of things is going to be completely turned upside down. Now the devil has done it with God's order. Well, let me tell you something, God's fixing to do it with the devil's order. The devil turned God's order upside down and backwards. Just wait till you see what God does to the devil and his order that he's, and his chaos that he's caused. God's going to turn it all upside down. What's now viewed as the top is going to be put on the bottom. And what's viewed as the bottom is going to be exalted to the top. Earthly kings and kingdoms now rule in the darkness of this world. Yeah, we fight and fuss over politics and argue and have hard feelings and all of that about whether we support these wicked politicians or not. You know, earthly kings, if you will, princes and all, you know. That's what these are. That's what these politicians are. Same thing. They just don't use that word to describe them, but they are. They're kings and princes. And it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your faith in men or confidence in men. Yeah, it's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in princes, the best of men. They look like they're the ones on top now. They can push the button. Yes, sir. They got control of everything. They ride around in high style. Have anything they want. They got the power. But it's going to come to an end. Their measly little power is going to look like nothing when the kingdom is completed. The earthly kings and kingdom now rule in the darkness of this world. They hinder and they interfere with the kingdom of God. Yeah. You don't think they do? When you can't even put up a display of the nativity, you can't put up a display of the Ten Commandments. The Bible's where I saw the other day where some school called the police because somebody was passing out Bibles at the school. Wonder if they'd call police if somebody was a bullying another kid, or if there was some rape or beating or robbery or anything like that going on at school. They got all these perverts in the schools and they don't call the police on them, teachers and everybody else. They get away with it. Somebody passing out Bibles, they're going to call the law on them. And the law come and get them too. Yeah. The kings and the rulers of this world and their upside down laws and morals and inequity and no judgment going to be put down. Hallelujah. And the sooner the better. They hinder and they interfere with the work of the kingdom of God. They absolutely refuse to submit to God and his authority. They despise Jesus Christ. And the name is a profane thing to them. It's an abominable thing to them. They don't want to hear it. They and their citizens are in open, fierce rebellion against Jesus Christ. And when the kingdom of God comes in its fullness, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, they will. Every knee, every tongue is going to confess. That's going to be a turnaround. That's going to be turning things upside down. That's going to change the order of everything. When all mouths are stopped and all power is taken away from them and the power is where it needs to be. I said something to her we saw the other night. I said, just think, you know, all this abortion and stuff, and somebody said something about why don't we make abortion extremely expensive and difficult to obtain and make adoption easy and cheap. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just had a king? Just do away with all this rotten government and rotten laws and rotten judges and wicked people that are in authority. Just had a king that would come and just put everything right and say, from this day forward, it's not going to be this way. We're not killing any more babies. If you don't want that, you live right and you don't get out here and do that to yourself. Get pregnant and have a baby. And that's not the way we get rid of them. And from now on, all these kids that need parents, it's going to be easy for them to be put together. Not going to be no $25,000, $50,000 to make it happen. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a king? To say, you know, when we're going to just start, people like the guy that murdered these people out here said they're saying that in the paper this week, you know, they're seeking the death penalty. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they just do it? Instead of talking about it for 20, 30 years. Justice, wouldn't it be wonderful if justice was just executed speedily by a righteous judge? Well, that's what's coming. Hallelujah. I want to deliver that news to you tonight. That is what is coming. There is a king. The king is coming. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And he's going to rule in righteousness. And the righteous are going to rule and reign with him. And I can't wait. I wish he was starting tomorrow. I wish he'd come. I wish his kingdom would come. Thy kingdom come. That's how he said to pray. It's one of the key elements of our prayer. Thy kingdom come. The righteous shall inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew 25:31-34. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now this is, I'm going to read a little bit around the verse we started with. 25:31 instead of 32. The verse before. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Oh yeah. He's coming in his glory. And all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That's what kings do. They sit on a throne. And that's from which they rule. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now they're trying to mix all up, ain't they? All this immigration. I think it's just another thing of the devil in his anticipation of this. He thinks somehow, like people cremate their body, God can't raise it because it's destroyed and gone and turned into smoke and ashes and scattered around the world. He can't do it. Ha ha. That's kind of like the devil's here. He's mixing everybody up, moving everybody around. God set the bounds of their habitations before. And nations are nations. And God knows where everybody belongs. Don't you worry one bit about that. He's going to separate the nations. All the nations going to be brought before him, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. He can tell right where you're from. Anyway, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That kingdom and that multitude that's going in there, that great multitude of all people and kindreds and tongues and nations. That's it right there. To inherit. It means to possess, to enjoy, to take as a possession. Everybody thinks of it as inheritance from your ancestors or something like that, you know, that's and it, because it's used so much for that. But the very basic meaning of it means that we're possessing it. It means to, it comes into your possession. It is yours. You get it? It's yours. Come, inherit the kingdom. Oh, I've got so many verses here to read, but one of them is Jesus said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's what he's been preparing from the foundation of the world. He's been preparing this for us, the righteous, those who are his. To inherit means to possess it. Now, we don't have it right now. We're in this wicked world. We got all this opposition. Where's the offscouring of the world? We got trouble every day of our life. We've got enemies. We've got affliction and adversity and opposition from everybody. Man's foes will be they of his own household, Jesus said. Yeah, that's what we got now. And it ain't no fun. Not here. I mean, man's born a woman, a few days full of trouble. We got trouble along the way here. But we got something to look forward to. Yes, sir. We know that the kingdom is coming through all this, but the kingdom's not been consummated yet, completed, brought to perfection, brought to completion. And that's what we're talking about tonight. This is what's going to do. This is what's going to happen when it is. To inherit means to possess it, to enjoy it, to take it as a possession. Can you imagine that moment when that really happens right there? And he says, come on in. Come on in. I want you to see what I got for you. It's yours. It's not anybody else's. It's yours, and it's yours forever. There ain't no other stage to this. There's no other phase to it. There's no other thing to accomplish. There's nothing else. This is it. This is what God had in mind from the beginning before he ever created anything. This is it. Inherit. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom. Take it. Possess it. Enjoy it. Own it. It's yours. You can't even comprehend it, can you? Kingdom of God will be consummated, brought to completion when the righteous inherit all things God has prepared for them. A lot of that in the Bible. We'll inherit everlasting life. We'll inherit eternal life. There's a little difference there. Everlasting's from here on out. Eternal is from all from there's no beginning and no end. Eternal life. Matthew 19:29 and Mark 10:17 tells us that we'll inherit everlasting life. That we'll inherit eternal life. When in Hebrews 6:12, we will inherit the promises. We'll possess them. They won't just be promises. What I'm telling you tonight is promises. I'm just telling you this is what Jesus said is going to happen. And we just got to say, wow, it's wonderful. Can't wait. We're looking forward to it. But it ain't right now. It's hot outside. We're sweating. We're all tired and weary. And we got to go home and go to bed and go to sleep. We ain't never going to do that there. Ain't never going to have to sleep no more. Ain't never going to be no night there because there's no all. It's eternal day. Yeah. But here we do. We're all tired and wore out. Got to go home, go to bed and try to rest and get up in the morning and feeling awful and go back to work and all of that. And so right now it's just promises. But we shall inherit the promises. We're gonna experience this for reality. Ah, there ain't no way to get it across, to make it as plain as needs to be. 1 Peter 3:9, we shall inherit a blessing. And Revelation 21:7, inherit all things, the Bible says. Inherit all things. Now, all right, now what does that include? What does that include? Everything. Everything. Inherit all things. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. All that he has. It will be ours. Now think about that, man. I don't even know. That's more than I can get out of my mouth even. The father said to the prodigal, or to the elder son, he said, all that I have is thine. And that's the way this is. All that has been promised, all that's been appointed, all that's been prepared for the righteous will become theirs to possess and enjoy forever. It's going to happen. There's a point there out in the future and probably not very far off where it's going to happen. Are you going to be there? You going to be there? Are you going to be one of them? Are you? Well, that's determined right now. That's determined right here and now. It's not going to be a eeny, meeny, miny, mo deal. It ain't going to be a thing where God pulls up everything you've ever did and weighs your good against your bad and see if you're really worthy or not. And well, okay, I guess we can let him in. Barely by the skin of his teeth. No, it ain't going to work like that at all. You're either righteous or you're wicked, and that's decided here, right now. while you're breathing this air, while you're living on this earth. And you can change from being wicked to being righteous. You can be saved out of the darkness. You can be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. Yes, you can. You can be brought out of the darkness into the light for good and have eternal life. That's what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's pretty good security, ain't it? You want that? Well, you got to trust Jesus. You got to walk with him. You got to follow him. You got to obey him. And it's easy. His burden is easy, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Oh, well. Let me read you some verses. Let me remind you, I want to read these verses so that you can see that this has been something that's been going on longer than just John the Baptist. God didn't think of this at John the Baptist, and then the kingdom of God was preached. Nope. Listen to this. Psalm 145, verse 13, written thousands of years before John the Baptist. The kingdom, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. It's an everlasting kingdom. And it always has been viewed that way by God's people. And the kingdom of God is not a new thing. It's been all the way through. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. See, old Nebuchadnezzar understood. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13 says this. Daniel talking, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son, capital S, Son of Man, came with the clouds of heaven. We've read this somewhere else in the Bible too. I believe I have. Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Wow. Daniel. You know what he's talking about, don't you? I don't know how you get it any plainer now. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the same kingdom we're talking about here. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve him, serve and obey him. Did you get that? That's in Daniel. That's in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27. Who's going to rule and reign with him? Y'all ain't listening. The saints. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Daniel's saying the same thing that Jesus told us in the Gospels. Same thing that Jesus talks about in the book of Revelation. Same thing we read in Peter. Yeah. The kingdom's everlasting. It's the kingdom of God. All right. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Kingdom of God in Romans. Chapter 8. James chapter 2 verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 and 5. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Ain't that wonderful? Oh my goodness, them are so wonderful. Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. 2 Peter 1:11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to be guided in, ushered in. For so an entrance, shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy. Romans 8:16-19 again, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we have suffered with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. When's everybody going to know? That moment when Jesus says, when he separates everybody out, and he says to them on his right hand, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, you know. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Yeah, that's when it's going to be. That's the manifestation of the sons of God. Everybody's going to know. That's it. I mean, that's the unveiling, the revealing, is when we inherit the kingdom. The moment that it becomes ours. Can you imagine what it's going to feel like? The relief, the burden, the, oh my, the joy, unspeakable. The glory that he's talking about here. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now the other thing that we got to think about now and to realize about the kingdom of God is this. It is exclusively for the righteous. I mean, we just got to get this. The unrighteous and the wicked shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we ought to be cautious about being drawn into this illusion that the whole world seems to have. And that ever seems to me like almost all people who sit in church pews have this illusion that everybody's going to heaven. We got to kick that. We got to be cautious about being drawn into that. Same chapter, Matthew 25:41. See, we read back in 31 and 32 when Jesus said those sweet, wonderful words. And we've been rejoicing about inheriting the kingdom. Drop down just a few verses and he says this. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, bring the preacher to me that says there's no fire in hell or anybody else. Remember that verse. Jesus said what to them? Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. The kingdom's everlasting, the fire's everlasting. Prepared for the devil and his angels. And then in verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Ain't that awful? Everybody that's ever breathed a breath could have been saved. Everybody that's on this earth right now can be saved. Yes, sir. There's room at the cross for you. Jesus made full atonement. He is sufficient to save every man and woman and boy and girl that ever did live, ever will live on this earth. And it's like I tell you often, the greatest part of the human race of all the time of our 6,000 years of history, the big mass of humanity is alive right now. I mean, 7-8 billion people. And there weren't 1 billion until the 1800s. Almost everybody. I mean, really, when you look at it and look at the numbers, almost everybody that's ever lived is alive right now. Been a lot of people die, but not near the multitude that's alive right now. The biggest part of the people who are going to stand before the great white throne are alive right now. They're alive right now. They're listening, they're hearing, they're seeing. We ought to be preaching the gospel to all the world right now. Because this time's a coming. They'll go away to everlasting punishment. But the righteous unto life eternal. The Bible gives us very clear warnings about this matter. And most Baptist preachers and everybody else are ignoring them completely. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? They're not going to be in this crowd. They're not going to be asked to enter in, to inherit. They're not going to be blessed of the Father. They're going to go away into everlasting punishment. The unrighteous. And then he goes on and says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They won't. They're not going. There's no place being prepared for them there. There is a place already prepared for them. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, and they're going there. Galatians chapter 5. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 and 10. Galatians 5 verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I've told you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, is that plain enough for everybody to understand? I had a preacher talking to me today, an old preacher. And that was one of the things we talked about, you know, He's confused about that. Everybody else is too. They don't read the Bible. There it is right there. I mean, I just read it to you right out of the Bible. That's what it says. Ain't no confusion about it. Ain't no mistaking about it. The righteous are going to inherit the kingdom of God. The wicked are not. And you can't be a righteous adulterer, fornicator. You can't be a righteous thief or a murderer. Or extortioner. You can't be a righteous drunkard. And they're going to go to hell. I don't care if they sit in the church pew and testify and praise God and say all that stuff. If that's what you are, you're not going. And that ain't what everybody wants. I mean, nobody is delighted about that. The people of God now are burdened for the lost around them. You look around and see all the wasted lives and the mess. And then look to the future that they've got. A person has to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Preached a whole message on entering the kingdom of God. And y'all remember that. Jesus answered in John chapter 3, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Oh, so there must be a change, a new birth. A man must be born again He, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature then. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. He's a new creature. It's not his life, but Christ living in him from that point on, right?
Right.
Yes. Corruption done away with. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah, there has to be more to you than just flesh and blood. We all sitting here, flesh and blood. But I hope that there's more to you tonight than that. There should be a new man. There should be a hidden man of the heart. There should be a new creature sitting there. Remember the song? The old man's dead. What you see before you? But if you could see inside, there's a new man in there. New life. The change in a person that makes him fit for the kingdom of God happens here in this life. It happens here. It happens in church services like tonight. It happens by your bedside at night, or by your sofa in the living room at home, or driving down the road in your car. I've heard people give testimonies of every one of these things. I've known a lot of people got saved in church. I've known people got saved in their car going down the road. I've known people that got saved out in the woods, sitting by their in their bed. But it happens. It happens. And if it doesn't happen, then you're going to be one of these that go away into everlasting punishment. Go away. Depart from me, you cursed. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? To your one of your loved ones? To anybody? Can you imagine it? The world, see, don't think he's like that at all. But the Bible tells us very clearly, he told us himself. These are his words. It's the way it's going to be. And it's determined right here and now. It's determined by when you hear the gospel, what you do with it. You believe? We read, and I marked it down because I thought, man, that's something I got to think about and study about and preach about one of these days. Paul preached to them, and some of them believed, and some of them believed not, it says. Some believe, some believe not. It's the way it is tonight. It's the way it is Sunday morning. It's the way it'll be Sunday morning when we preach. It'll be that way every time we come to church. Every time you hear anybody preach, you'll either believe it or you won't. Yeah, it's that simple. And it determines this very important future for you. Where you're going to be. Which way you're going to go. The things that qualify a person to inherit the kingdom of God must be acquired here and now, not after death. You see, but the thing about it is, it's not going to be, and I'm almost done, hang on. But it's not going to be like some new wow. It's going to be like home. You ain't going to feel like you're in a strange place. You ain't going to feel like you've been dropped on another planet or something. I mean, it's going to be home. Wonderful.
Yes.
It's going to be with the people you know. Yeah. You ain't gonna, there, I'll not meet a stranger when I enter that city. Remember that song? I'll not be a stranger. I'll not be a stranger when I enter that city. No. I'll know. It'll be like I know everybody there. Because everybody's going to be the same kindred spirit. Did you ever meet a stranger and talk to them just a little bit and find, and it's just like you knew them all your life? Yeah, that's what it's going to be. Because ain't going to be nobody there that's any different than that. It's a place he's preparing for them that love him. And it's a place that he's been preparing a long time. And it's a kingdom. There's no opposition. There's no elections. There's no dissent. There's no opposition from any quarter, anywhere. It's all peace and love and wonderful. Oh, my. In order to fit in there, you got to be prepared here. That's a sobering thought right there. You have trouble getting along with people here? You have trouble loving people here? You have trouble finding people to love? Is there a rub between you and other Christians? Gonna have that's, man, that speaks of trouble to come. Just saying, it's going to be a comfortable transition. It's going to be wonderful. It ain't going to be. When we inherit the kingdom, it's not going to be any nervousness about it. Not going to be any kind of dread or fear about it. All that's just going to vanish away. And it's all going to be wonderful. And you got to get prepared for that here. Home. I'm home. You hear old people talking about, I just want to go home. I'm beginning to understand. Because this world doesn't feel like home anymore. The longer I go and the more I learn and the more God works on me, the less I fit in here. Less I'm able. The less able I am to cope with all this. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You got to get prepared here. Prepare to inherit the kingdom of God. Don't neglect so great a salvation. We're going to, the righteous are going to inherit the kingdom of God. So prepare for that. Live righteous. Live right. Do right. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Walk in the light. Walk in the truth of God. Be led by the Spirit. That's how you get prepared for the kingdom of God. It's how you're made a citizen. Amen. All right. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. There's a bright day ahead. Believe me, there is. And I'm longing for it. I can't wait for it. And I know that it's out there. I can look at what He promised and what He prophesied about it all. And then I look at what He says here and I believe every word He says. I believe it's going to be more wonderful than we can even think about or imagine. I know it is. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. One thing about God, He's got an imagination. One thing about God, He is creative. And He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So it's going to be a wonderful deal. Wonderful deal. I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's stand. Hope you're prepared. If He comes tonight, are you prepared? Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare. Better start. Better start preparing. Amen. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the promises You've given us here. Thank You for the message tonight. It's been a help to me. I hope and pray, Lord, that it will be a help and encouragement to somebody else. Pray You to help these things to be understood in all of our minds and hearts and clung to. Lord, we need this hope. We need this to be kept in front of our minds a lot in the days we're living in. It's easy to get discouraged and kind of despair about all the work because it's so things are so overwhelmed by this world. And we are too. And Lord, we pray You'd come quickly. Lord, we're looking forward to this day. And Lord, I know You are too, more than we are. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.